This is Authors Voices. I'm your host, David Wilk. Today I have the great pleasure of welcoming Kim Dower to read from two of her recent books. Kim is a poet, a best-selling poet of six collections. They've all been published by Red Hen Press. That includes What She Wants, Poems on Obsession, Desire, Despair, Euphoria, which the Washington Post has described as raw, witty, sultry, and thoughtful. She also has written recently, I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom, which was an Eric Hoffer Book Award finalist, and it's a book I really like. Also, Sunbathing on Tyrone Power's Grave, which won the 2020 Independent Publishers Book Award Gold Medal for Poetry. Kim was the City Poet Laureate of West Hollywood from 2016 to 2018, and she teaches poetry workshops for the West Hollywood Library. Her day job, which is how I knew her first, is as a wonderful publicity person known as Kim from LA, and she works with incredible writers from all over the country. Welcome, Kim. It's really nice to have you here.
Thank you, David. It's very nice to be here on this April Fool's Day. So this is all a joke. This isn't really happening. But I don't know when people are going to hear this. But you know, April Fool's Day, nobody does anything about that anymore. I mean, thank goodness. But it's day one of National Poetry Month, which is April. So everybody's doing all kinds of things for National Poetry Month. One of the main things is write a poem a day, write one poem every day for 30 days, and then you get to go to Hawaii, but you get to pay for it. So anyway, I'm very excited to read some poems for your audience today. And I'm going to start with a poem, the title poem from the book, I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom, because Easter Sunday is coming right up, and so is Mother's Day. So it's a very appropriate poem to read. I wore this dress today for you, Mom, breezy, floral, dancing with color, soft, silky flows as I walk. Easter Sunday, and you always liked to get dressed, go for brunch. Maybe there's a good movie playing somewhere. Wrong religion. We were not churchgoers, but New Yorkers who understood the value of a parade down Fifth Avenue, bonnets in lavender, powder blues, pinks, hues of spring, the hope it would bring. We had no religion, but we did have noodle kugel, grandparents, dads who could fix fans, reach the china on the top shelf, carve the turkey. That time has passed. You were the last to go, Mom, and I still feel bad I never got dressed up for you like you wanted me to. I had things to do. But today in L.A., hot the way you liked it, those little birds you loved to see flitting from tree to tree, I just saw one, a twig in its mouth, preparing a bed for its baby, might still be an egg. I wish you were here. I've got a closet filled with dresses I need to show you. So I grew up in New York City. And even though I left New York many, many years ago to move to Los Angeles, a lot of my poems are still very much New York-based. I think that some of those images and just they just never leave you. You can never get New York out of your soul or your brain, apparently. But this next poem I'm going to read, also from I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom, is an L.A. poem, and it's also a baseball poem. So I'm going to read this in honor of baseball season, which has just begun. Go Dodgers! And I've been going to Dodgers games. Of course, I grew up as a Dodgers fan when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers, and I was a little girl, and we loved them. Then they moved out here to L.A., and I am a big fan. This poem, if anyone is a baseball fan, will remember the name Manny from the Dodgers about 10, 15 years ago. And this was watching a game with Manny in it. It's called Game Over. I squirted too much mustard on my hot dog, and now I can't eat it, I tell my friend at the game. That's why God made napkins, he tells me. Wipe it off. I tell him I knew God made mustard, but I didn't know he also made napkins. I tell him once the mustard gets soaked up by the bun, it's game over. Even napkins won't help. He's disturbed. I can see in his face he's mad I wasted a perfectly decent hot dog, and worse, now I'm doubting God. When did you stop believing in him? He asks me, his face twisted like the pretzel I'm about to put mustard on. Did I ever believe in God? Was God peeking through the window up there in Laurel Canyon when my son was conceived? Was he in my belly when they sliced it open so they could lift my baby out of his warm, private ocean? Was God in my son's hands when he pitched a perfect game at the Pan? My friend's still talking. I was an altar boy, he continues. You don't forget the Eucharist, wearing the crisp cassock, snuffing out candles as the priest consecrates bread and wine. You don't forget ringing the bells until someone you love dies. Then it's game over. He tells me these things, our shoulders touching, as Manny hits deep into left field. The men on base run their hearts out, thousands in the stands praying, please, God, please get the run, win the game. As the mustard hardens on my cold dog, bun stiff, I slip it under my seat with God's blessing as the first man slides safely to home. So, you know, a lot of everyone thinks poems are autobiographical, and a lot of these things are made up. You know, poems, like any other kind of writing, we use our imaginations to come up with these ideas. But that one is pretty much autobiographical. So just so you know. So I'm going to read one more poem from I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom. I'm kind of in the mood for reading this one. It's called The People in the Health Food Store. So, you know, when I left New York City many years ago, I don't think there was one health food store, or maybe it was that weird place in the corner somewhere that you would never go into. But of course, now they're everywhere, aren't they? And LA takes the lead in the health food stores. And I remember going to Erewhon, which I think you may have all over the country now, but it started here and it was pretty weird. Now you can get a shake for about $200 there if you happen to have the extra money. So this book, I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom, a lot is a book all about motherhood, being a mother, having a mother. And my mother, sadly, had dementia. And a lot of the poems in this book are about her decline and my dealing with that decline. So here we are, the people in the health food store. The people in the health food store don't look healthy, which is why they're here. I'm here to get carrot chips, craving crunch, flavor, after visiting my mother in the home where flavor only appears in faint whiffs of memory, where people in wheelchairs suspiciously eye the applesauce in their trays delivered by chubby nurses in red scrubs, pictures of ponies or baby elephants stitched onto pockets that contain their syringes and keys to the lounge. The people in the health food store look dirty, wear spandex, have spaces between their teeth, prowl the aisles for natural supplements, inner peace, Ola Lola energy drinks, so only the losers will die, not them. Not after they cleanse their bodies of all impurities, destroy lingering negative thoughts, What if my baby never learns to talk? What if I suddenly forget how to walk? What if the earth sucks me deep into hell, like the hell my mother lives in, where when I visit, she asks me, who put me here? When did this happen? It was only yesterday she sipped martinis on the rooftops of Manhattan. So it's no wonder I run for the health food store, fill my basket with miracle cream to rub in every pore, stock up on Wrinkle Warrior, buy a year's supply of brain enhancers, so when it's my turn to stare out the window wearing floral patterned daytime pajamas, I'll remember who I am, who I was, who I once loved. So those are some poems from I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom. And then my next collection that came out last year is called What She Wants, and it's poems on obsession, desire, despair, euphoria. Certainly different from poems about my mother, although she would have liked this book, I will say. And this book takes you through the four stages of limerence, which is being obsessed with someone who may not necessarily be obsessed with you. So we've got infatuation, crystallization, deterioration, and ecstatic release, which is the thing we all wait for. Frankly, never comes. So the first poem in the book is called She'll Do Anything for Food. She'll do anything for food, the dog walker tells me. She speaks quietly, not wanting to insult her heavy-boned, one blue, one brown-eyed beast tugging at her leash. We did a doggy ancestor test, she confides. Discovered she's part wolf, part miniature poodle. Must be the poodle part makes her so ravenous. Small creatures are ruthless feeders. Think of enraptured rats gnawing their way through orange trees. Babies nursing, sucking so fiercely they can burst a nipple. Think of your heart, size of a throbbing fist, the part of you that will do anything for love. So there's a lot of poems in this book like that, that talk about love sort of slant, talk about love and talk about obsession. I think I'll read one more poem. We'll go back to New York. And, you know, as someone who grew up there in the 60s, I spent a lot of time in the phone booths on all the different streets. We had no cell phones, and there were a lot of phone calls that needed to be made. And I loved those phone booths. So a couple of years ago, I read an article in the New York Times about they're taking all the phone booths away. One day, they just removed them all. And that was very heartbreaking to me. And when you're a poet and your heart is broken, well, you have to write an ode. So this is Ode to the Phone Booths in New York City. We would cram ourselves in after school. One more, okay, just one more, okay, you. Our shoulders crushed, groping like idiots, cheeks smashed against the glass. One of us with a finger in the accordion door, pour our dimes into the slot, call our mothers to say Donna's for dinner or Joey's to study, then off we'd go to Central Park. Sometimes it was just me and Melissa. Thunderstorms, humidity creeping into the booth. She'd sit on the seat, heavy phone book on a wire swaying between us, while I made collect calls with a fake credit card to random people. The excitement killing us. Senior year, it'd be me alone, excusing myself from my parents' dinner table. Running a brush through my hair, elevator down, making the call to my boyfriend, filthy receiver tight in my hand, mouthpiece caked with someone else's spit, smelling like the inside of someone else's mouth. I'd hang up if his mother or sister answered. They couldn't know we were about to meet, walk into the dark opening of the park, find our spot below the American elms that lined the river, my heart pounding, my fingertips laced with the sweat of strangers. Thank you so much. I hope those uplifted you and made you want to go write a poem for National Poetry Month or for your mother.
Thank you, Kim. That was really wonderful. I want to really thank you for doing that. And I kind of forgot that today is the beginning of National Poetry Month. So this is very propitious and wonderful. So thank you for appearing here. And we'll do it again some other time, I hope.
Wonderful.
Thank you again. This has been Authors' Voices. I'm your host, David Wilk, and you've been listening to Kim Dower, Kim from LA, reading her poems about New York from LA. Thanks so much. ¶¶